So for Parshas Re'eh, Ki pasach tiftach es yodcha, psichas hayad. There's a tremendous emphasis here on opening one's hand, which obviously means not being tight-fisted and being charitable, magnanimous, willing to give to others from the finances that you have. God blessed you with money. If you can share that with others, it's a great mitzvah. But what we want to study today is a maimar from Rav Pinchas Friedman in Shvilei Pinchas for Parshas Re'eh, focusing on this phrase called Psichas Hayad. Now, Tzedakah is one of the 613, and as such, it's equal to any other mitzvah, but yet, Tzedakah has a very, very unique status. And the parasha today, Re'eh, really hones in on this. Ki yeh b'cha evyon, me'achad achicha, be'achad sharecha be'artzcha asher Hashem alkecha nosein loch. Every word here is important for different halachot in Tzedakah. But we want to get just the general feel and then hone in on two words about psichas hayad. Lo sa'ameitz es levavcha v'lo tikpotz es yodcha. Don't close your fist. But rather, ki pasach tiftach es yodcha lo. Nason titein lo. And again, a double language, which Chazal have a lot to say about. V'lo yera levavcha besitcha lo. It shouldn't be painful for you. And you shouldn't suffer any anguish by giving. Ki beglal adov razei varecha Hashem alokech b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yodecha. God promises a divine grace, bestowing so much goodness and reward upon a person who opens his hand. We want to study the special significance and status of the mitzvah of Tzedakah within the constellation of 613, and the two dimensions of the mitzvah of Tzedakah, both of which are mentioned here in one pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. Number one is the lo saseh, lo tikpot es yodcha. Number two is the mitzvah saseh of pasach tiftach es yodcha. Two sides of a coin. We'll focus also on the reward that's promised someone who fulfills this mitzvah the way it should be fulfilled. And although there are many mitzvahs that we fulfill and with our hands, for example, we pick up an aveda and we return it, we take the dalad minim and we shake them, we wrap our hands with tefillin, our arms with tefillin, our head with tefillin, and we do that with our hand, we write a sefer Torah. There are many, many other mitzvahs that we fulfill with our hand, but here, in the midst of Tzedakah, the Torah seems to have gone out of its way to emphasize the opening of one's hand. And we want to understand why. Now, just understand in general how Tzedakah is so significant within the constellation of mitzvahs. Let's just quote the famous statement of the Gemara Bava Basra on Daf Tes: Shkula Tzedakah Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. If you put all 612 on one side of the scale and the one single mitzvah of Tzedakah on the other side of the scale, it will balance it out. Not only that, the Gemara there in Bava Basra, which is the famous sugi of Tzedakah, says Gdola Tzedakah Shemekareves Es HaGeula. You know, nowhere does the Torah tell us that tefillin or dalad minim is going to bring the geula. And you know that in Chabad, they're very makbid on the mitzvah of Tzedakah because they're focused on bringing the geula. We want Mashiach now. So it's not a surprise that in Chabad, there's so much emphasis on the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Now, on the lo saseh side, the Gemara points out, kol amalim ein av minat Tzedakah. If someone turns away and gives a cold shoulder to someone who needs Tzedakah, is ki'ilu oved avodas kochavim. I mean, that's a very heavy accusation. So what's the deal here with Tzedakah? Now, mentioning the Arizal, who lived 500 years ago in Sfat, he had a minog which has really taken on, that before us Yashir, every morning at Shacharis, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch, who's giving us, granting us all the good things, and we declare V'ata Moshel Bakol, and you are the sovereign ruler of everything. At that point, the Arizal was knowing to give Tzedakah. And it's very interesting because usually we don't do mitzvahs in the middle of tefillah, in the middle of prayer. Prayer is not a place for mitzvahs. The possible exception would be shofar. But in the case of Dalad Minim, we're not going to take the Dalad Minim in the middle of Shmon Esrei. And we're not going to eat matzah in the middle of Tefillas Arvis on Leil Pesach. But here, in the middle of Tefillah, the Arizal found and pinpointed a certain place. That's where we should give tzedakah. That's called the Ata Moshel Bakol. We see that the mitzvah of tzedakah is connected somehow to God's rulership over the universe, which is one of the 13 principles of our faith. So there's an Amuna element involved in tzedakah. And does a person have faith? Well, take a look at the bracha of David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, V'atomo shel bakol, u'biyotcha koach u'gvur, u'biyotcha legadel u'lechazek lakol. You have complete omnipotence, control over everything. Koach u'gvur, you can give whatever you want to give. You can strengthen, you can glorify, you can upgrade the powers of anyone. And when a person gives tzedakah and he knows that everything's in the hands of God, he believes, he affirms his faith in the bracha, in the promise, the divine promise that God says, you'll give tzedakah and I will bestow goodness upon you. As the pasuk says in this week's parasha, Yivarecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'asechu b'chol mishlach yadcha. So if Ata Moshe Bakol, then we know and we can trust and have total reliance on Hashem that He will grant us all those great rewards that He promised us. So when we give tzedakah and we declare that God is the ruler of the universe, and biyodcha legadel lechazek lakol, we are making a statement of faith that our tzedakah will be seen in the eyes of God as an opportunity to give us reward, and we will be rewarded. But what we want to study now is a sefer called Nofes Tzufim. And what we're going to get out of this sefer is almost an original transmission of the Arizal's Torah. You know, it's very hard to get, you know, the original Torah of the Arizal. But here's a direct transmission, and he says the following in the name of the Ari: Im Hayu Kol Yisrael Yodim, if the people of Israel would know, Kama Hu Gadol Nesinas Tzedaka, how great is the mitzvah of giving tzedaka. And the Ata Moshel Bakol, and how God is omnipotent, He's all controlling. Hayukulam Nosnim Tzedakah, and now everyone, insofar as He affirms that belief, would give Tzedakah. All of Klal Yisrael is giving Tzedakah. Yabba Mashiach. Mashiach would come. And that again reflects the Gemara in Baba Basra that we saw, that Gedola Tzedakah Shemakarevis Sagu'ula will bring about the ultimate redemption. Now, what's the source for this statement? Well, Lefishat Stoki Mitzvah Severoi Lasos Hamitzvos Mi'umad. It's interesting. The Arizal states that we should give tzedakah in a standing position because, in general, when we do a mitzvah aseh, we do it in a standing position. Again, there are a few exceptions. Kiddush, for example, according to some, is recited in a sitting position, so we connect it to the Suda. But as a universal rule, we stand for a mitzvah. But here, the Arizal gives us a second explanation as to why we stand when we give tzedakah. And he says that the standing position is symbolic of the fact that we are facilitating, through our mitzvah tzedakah, the ani, the poor person, for standing on his own two feet. If I'm standing and I'm giving tzedakah, what I'm saying to the ani is, as a result of this tzedakah, you'll be able to stand as well. In a figurative sense, stand on your own two feet. You'll be able to support your family. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also give tzedakah. What does that mean? Ki yiten HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzedakah l'shechina kedosha. This is a very mystical concept, but somehow the tzedakah that we give has its parallel, if you will, some sort of corresponding vision in which the divine being gives tzedakah. Asher begolus yaniya vidala v'nofeles la'aretz. We, the people of Israel, and all our souls are in a state of golus, of exile. And that makes us like the poor people. We are destitute. And we're falling to the ground on a spiritual level, in golus. And we're asking Hashem to quid per quo, in a corresponding mirror image, give tzedakah the way we're giving tzedakah. And God will give tzedakah to us. We're giving tzedakah to the Aniyim, and God is honoring us and giving tzedakah to us. And that tzedakah, just like our tzedakah to the Ani, is mamid lo al raglav. We get the Ani to stand on his own two feet. so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a standing of Ma'amad in Golos. He will pick us up from the offer, from the dust. HaRachmanu Yakim Lanu, as we say on Sukkot, that we are like the Sukkas Dovid HaNofales, falling down in Golos in so many different ways, mostly spiritual and physical as well. And God is going to give us a standing, because we give a standing, an Amid Al Raglaim, to the Ani, and God, quid pro quo, will give us a standing. It'll be a special protection in Golos, and ultimately, through our Tzedakah, will bring about the Geula, the final redemption. So again, Im hayu kol Yisrael yodim, if the people of Israel, every last Jew, would acknowledge, would appreciate, would understand the greatness of the mitzvah of tzedakah, the tzedakah v'ata moshel bakol, that you, God, are in charge of everything. Vayukulam nosnim zos hatzedakah, everyone would give tzedakah, having appreciated what tzedakah is all about, then we would be uplifted from the afar, hayaba mashiach. And this is what the Gemara means by Gedolah Tzedakah Shemekarevet Sagu'ula. And we should understand that if we're in Golos, then the Shekhinah Kaviyachal is also in Golos. That's called Imo Anochi Vitzara. God also goes into Golos. And the Gemara says that B'Shkuni Gavoy, God is crying because of the Golos, whatever that means. Again, Kaviyachal, how could Hashem be crying? But there's a certain... Or I shouldn't say B'Shkuni Gavoy, I should say B'Shkuni Bray. I made a mistake. But in any event, there's some sort of element of God crying because we're in Golos. So in a sense, by giving tzedakah, we're helping God out, because God wants to end the Golos and God wants to bring us into the state of Geula, of redemption. So let's try to get a deeper understanding of the connection between tzedakah and V'ata Moshe Bakol, which is the moment in time during our chakras, when according to the Ari, we should be giving tzedakah. So in order to appreciate this, we'll start with the Shalah HaKodesh, HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, and his commentary on Parshas Chayisora. And he berates, or shall I say, rips into a kamtson, someone who closes his hand. It's very interesting. The word for a stingy person is kamtsan. Kamtsan is literally translated, according to the etymology of the word, as someone who's tight-fisted. He closes his hand. And the Shalos says the following: Vayomer Avraham el Avdo Zaken Beiso Moshel B'Kol Asher Lo. Avram, in Parshas Chayisora, when he turns to Eliezer and appoints him as his agent, commissioning him to find a wife for his son Yitzchak, he turns to his Eved, and the Eved is described as Moshel B'chol Asher Lo, as if to say that Eliezer is in charge of all of the property, the finances, all the monies, the bank account of Avraham Avinu. Says the Shalom, Yesh Lefarish Shezekoi al Avram. Shaliezer Hoya Eved Uzkan Beso Shal Avram, Hamosha Bechola Shalom, Varemez who Misha Chonino Hashem Yisbrachosher God of who Makamates, Vieno Marbe Vitstokos who Benedivus, Bevada Yesh Klipos, Ustonim Barminin Hashochnin al Oshra. On a mystical level, we have to assume there's some sort of force, an evil force of contamination, like a film that covers his property. His property is contaminated by what he calls a klipa. Hamonim ososhal yuchal limshol bishalo. And as a result, he doesn't have control over his own finances, of his own possessions, because his possessions are, so to speak, enveloped by klipos, and these are forces of evil that repel him and prevent him from using his funds and his finances in the way he would want to use them. And all this, says the Shalah, is a result. What caused this klipa? Hashochen al Oshro, it's the Mekamets, V'enu Marbe B'Tzedakos. He doesn't have that sense of wanting to give. Aval Avram Avinu, in contrast, Hayanidiv Gadol, he was magnanimous. He was outstanding in his willingness to give of his own to others. You remember the story in Sdom. I mean, Sdom is a classical case of kamtzonin, right? They don't want to share anything that they have. It's shali shali v'shalchasha. Everything is mine. Avram Avinu, on the other hand, picks up his hands and he says, "Im lokachti misrochnal, I don't want to get anything. I've been nothing. Totally efker. Everything that he has, he's going to be sharing with others. He's a baal tzedaka. As a result, he's the Moshel B'chol HaShalom. So when you are a Kamtzon, then you have no control over your finances because your Osher is completely covered and enveloped by klipos that protect you and repel you from having access to your monies and doing with them what you wish. But in the case of Avraham Avinu, the opposite is true. He's the Moshel. He's the Moshel B'chol HaShalom. Again, this is the unique interpretation of the Shalom. Now let's understand that this is a revolution of sorts on two levels. Number one, Moshel B'chol HaShalom Pashtus, if you take a look in the commentaries, they're telling you that that's a description of Eliezer Eved Avram. The Shalom says HaMoshel B'chol HaShalom is a description of Avram Avinu. That's one revolution. And on a more profound, philosophical, mystical level, there's a second revolution here that the Torah is contrasting Avram as the paradigm of a magnanimous person who gives tzedakah b'nedivus with kamtzonim who have nothing, no element of tzedakah and nedivus, and they are the opposite. They're not Moshel B'chol HaShalom, but the klipos prevent them from being Moshel B'chol HaShalom. So if a person was granted by divine grace monies, finances, then the question is, what's he going to do with those? That's a great challenge. If he's noig min kamtzonus, he doesn't want to give anything to the aniyim, then he should know that he's creating kochos ha-sitna, kochos ha-tuma, sitra achra, satan, whatever words you want to use to these powers of evil, that they are going to control his monies. And that's going to prevent him from being Moshel B'chol HaShalom. And if a person is a kamtzon, he'll say, why am I guilty? After all, these kochos hatumah of sitra achra are controlling my monies, and that's why I can't give tzedakah. So he says we should respond to him, and we should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and bestowed upon you all these monies, and he warned you, al takpo tzes yodcha, and now we're on page 2, and he says that you had the freedom of choice. You could have responded to God's challenge and taken those monies and shared them with others with Benedivus Alev. And instead, you were cruel. You closed your fists, and then, as a result, you generated the power of Sitra Achra, all these powers of evil, these forces that now control your Nechasim. It's almost like Avera Goreris Avera, that when you fail in the test and you have a freedom of choice, you're going to have to pay the repercussions. You're going to end up with another Avera. You know, the Sitra Achra is now going to make it even more difficult for you, a greater barrier to overcome to give tzedakah. But had you rose to the occasion and to the challenge and you were posech as yodcha, you would have given tzedakah. There is such a sanctity in that mitzvah of tzedakah that it would have repelled and neutralized any of the powers, those what we call kochos hachitzonim, the powers of evil of the sitra achra and the satan. It would have sanctified all his rishus, all his rechush, all his property. And imagine if we look at our property and see sanctity in our property. That's an amazing level. The shechita is shora even on our physical possessions. And what we see from this shalom is that if a person opens a Pesach and he understands and appreciates what a terrible aveira would be if he doesn't give tzedakah, but what a great mitzvah would be if he gives tzedakah, then by giving tzedakah he's able to break the kochos hasitra achra, mamish, break them as far as his mamon is concerned. So for example, let's say he takes this mamon, he takes money that's in the bank, And after withdrawing some money, he buys food. The food itself is sanctified. Why? Because the money was sanctified, and now his food is sanctified. And that's an amazing, amazing trigger effect of a domino theory, because he starts with elevating himself to the level of Pasach Tiftach Es Yadcha. He's magnanimous, and B'nedivus HaLev, he shares his money and gives Aniyah money. And as a result, he sanctifies all his possessions. And with those possessions, he sanctifies anything he buys with those possessions. But on the other hand, someone who is a kamtzan, and he violates the law of Al Tikpatz as Yodcha, then anything that he buys and any food that he acquires is now completely enveloped with Kochos HaRoyim, with these external kind of powers, because he generates this entity, this power of the Sitra Achra. Now let's take a look at a pasuk in Mishle for a second. Shlomo Melech says, "Al tilcham es lechem ra ayin va'altis of limato mosav." And the Gemara in Sota says, "Om Rav Yeshu ben Levi kol anena mitzari ayin over belav." From this pasuk in Mishle, we derive a prohibition of enjoying the benefits of someone who doesn't fargin you. He doesn't want to give you any of his own. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar over b'shnei lavin. He violates two lavim, because the pasuk says al tilcham, and then it says al tisav. And according to the Shalah, basically what this Gemara is telling us is that once he violates this mitzvah of giving and being magnanimous, and instead he's a tzar ayin, holding everything back for himself, then he generates these kochos hatuma, the sitra achra, that now control his nechasim, his rechush. And we shouldn't be eating from any of his food, because we have to know that his food is, how should I say, the kochos hara penetrate, they makalkel, they ruin his food with a certain contamination. So stay away from a tzar ayin. And if you're nenem tzar ayin, it's a bad thing. Now, based on everything that we've said now, let's take a look at the words of the Medrash in the name of Rabbi Meir. And this Medrash appears in Sefer Koheles, Tani B'Shem Rabbi Meir. Kisha Adam Bali Olam, when a man is born, when a child is born, Yadav Hein Kfutos. And I would like to Google this and see if this is biologically correct, that the fetus, when he exits from the body of his mother, his hands are tight, are closed. What does it mean? There's a symbolic message here. Klomar kola olam kula shali. The baby is saying, the whole world is mine. I am the epicenter of the universe. Kshu niftar min olam. When he dies, 70, 80 years later, yadav hem pshutos. His hands are open. Klomar, what statement is he making? What's the symbolic message here? Lo nachalti min olam hazeh klum. I take nothing with me. I'm empty-handed. We take nothing of our possessions with us to the grave. And Rabbi Meir is telling us something amazing. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Nida that when a baby is born, the Malach comes and slaps him on his face, and he forgets all the Torah that he was taught during the entire embryonic period. And that's based on the pasuk of Pesach Chatos Rovetz in Bereishis. So the Marsha explains that Malach is none other than the Yetzer Hara that comes and enters into man from the moment of birth itself. And when the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "May Emasa Yetzer Hara Sholeit by Adam, Mishas Yitzira, Mishas Yitzia." And the Gemara finally concludes, Mishas Yitziyosel Olam, from the moment that the baby is born, there already is a control of the Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara bases that on the pasuk of Pesach. Pesach means at the entry, when the baby, the fetus, exits from its mother's womb, Chatos Rovetz, the Chet is right there to jump upon him, to tempt him. The Yetzer Hara is going to schlep him in. And Rabbi Meir says that when a person is born in the world, his hands are tight, are closed. Kol ha'olam kula shali. Because immediately with his birth, when he comes out to breathe the air, not only does the Yetzer Hara come and hit him on his face, maybe under his nose, so that he forgets all the Torah that he learned in his mother's womb, but moreover, what the Yetzer Hara is able to do is to control his hands. Lishtaleit al yadav. And what does the Yetzer Hara force the baby to do? To close his hands. Which means I'm typhus, and I hold on to everything. Everything in this world I'm going to hold on to for myself. That's the koach of the Yetzer Hara. And that same power of the Yetzer Hara is going to penetrate into the rechush, as we said before, the name of the Shalom. And that's a dangerous situation. So already, with birth, on the very day of its birth, the baby has to face this challenge. His hands are tight-fisted. He almost has this natural inclination, the propensity based on the Yetzer Hara and its power, to want to be very stingy, to hold everything onto him for himself, not to share with others. And therefore, when Chazal speak about Netilas Yadayim, before you eat something, the Gemara in Sukkah says, "Mipnei she'yadayim askoniyos," says Rashi, says "Shemen nagu b'mokom atinofes." What that might mean is that since at the moment of birth, the yadayim, the hands, represent his askus lihisager, meaning I want to take everything for myself. That's what the Yetzer Hara impacts on me. Then it creates a tinofes. It creates some sort of a contamination in the food. And how do you get rid of that contamination? When you're ready to sit down and eat something, and let's say you're eating some food that belongs to you because you worked hard in order to afford to buy it, then a person may make the mistake that if I worked so hard to buy and acquire this food, it's kochi v'otzim yodi, it's myself. Wash your hands before you eat the bread. Let that washing rid you of the yadayim askaniel, saying, of that philosophy that's my yadayim that took things in this world for myself. Whatever I manufacture, whatever I produce is for myself. That's called shevanagu b'mokom atinofes. That means that we have a certain hashkafic negative weltanschauung that we have to overcome through netilas yadayim symbolically. Nagu b'mokom atinofes. What's this mokom atinofes? That's the tinofes of that great mistake when a person thinks that everything in this world is for him and he keeps it for himself. He's coming in contact with a mokom tinofes. He needs rechitzas yadayim. He needs the kius. Let him wash his hands of this tinofes, of this philosophical idea that everything in life and everything that I possess is all for me and only for me. And that's the severity, the sur meira of lo tikpats es yodcha me'achicha ha'evyon. In other words, don't continue with that philosophy that was projected, was propelled into your very being when you were born, from the moment that you went out li'aver olam, where everything, the Yetzer Hara tells you, everything you should hold on to for yourself in a very selfish, tight-fisted way. And you think that all is yours because it's all a product of your work. And as a result, the products of your labor are now niguim, they are now blemished with those powers of evil that are mekalkil, as we saw in the Shalom. The Torah says instead, lo tikpots, but the flip side is, ki pasoach tiftach es yodcha, give tzedakah to aniyim. That will break the power of the Yetzer Hara. And as a result, it will break that film that we spoke about, that barrier that covers and envelops your rechush based on the satan. And the pasuk says, Nason titein lo. Rashi says, Afilu mea pa'amin. You want to break the control of the Yetzer Hara and his powers and over control over your maisi yadayim, then what you need is Nason titein lo afilu mea pa'amin. There's a whole procedure here. There is a whole process, a very difficult and long-winded process. And the Torah says, "Lo yera levavcha." Don't be upset, because what you're doing is you're overcoming the Yetzirah and your natural tendency for kamtzanut, to take everything for yourself. And then at the end of the day, as the Pasuk declares, Yivarecha Hashem Elokech b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yodcha. The Shechina will be shoreh, there'll be kedusha that will envelop all of your possessions, all your mishlach yodcha. And what this means is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to man, Lo tikvot es yodcha me'achicha evyon Torah, is almost begging us that we got to break this tendency that was engendered with our birth to be yodayim kfutzos. And instead of being tight-fisted, which is a symbolic expression of the fact that the world is mine, pasach tiftachas yod chalo, and when you die, what are you left with? You're left with your possessions? You think they're really yours? You can take them down to the grave? Pasach tiftachas yod chalo. When you die, as we saw in the Gemara, your hands are spread out, as if to say, you're taking nothing with you to the next world. Lo nachaltum in olam hazeh klum. And therefore, the best idea is pasach tiftachas yodcha. Engender within yourself a great will while you're alive to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. And in the zchus of mitzvah of tzedakah, you'll be zochet olam haba. And if we take a look at the birth of Yaakov Avinu, the story in Bereishis Chaf Hei, Vayetzei Arishon Admoni Kulo Kaderes Seor V'Yikru Shmo Esav, V'Achar Kein Yotza Achiv, V'Yodav Oksos B'Ekev Esav. Again, the emphasis on Yodav, on his hands. The Torah is telling us and revealing the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, that he wasn't Kofetzes Yodav. He was the one who was Yodav Ocheses. He had open hands. Immediately with his birth, he was opening his hands as if to declare, this world doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. V'yado ochezes ba'kev Esav. It means that the sorrow shel Esav, the Yetzirah, would not be able to control and subjugate the Yodayim shel Yaakov to close those Yodayim. But on the contrary, the Adayim of Yaakov are holding on to the Akev of Esav, grabbing on to control Esav. And that fits beautifully with what it says in the Pasuk, Vayisrotsu Abanim B'kirba. Rashi says, Merivim, they were fighting Esav and Yaakov in the fetus of their mother. Benachlas Shnei Olamos. Yaakov wanted to take this world, Esav the next world. Yaakov understood that whatever he's granted in this world, in the physical, material world, that's all not his. It really doesn't belong to him. He's going to have to forfeit it. He's going to have to give it up. And when he dies, it's going to be Pasach Tiftachas Yodcha. You take nothing with you. Esav, on the other hand, puts all the emphasis on the here and the now and the Olam Hazeh. So let's try to understand the minhag of the Arizal to give tzedakah when we recite V'ata Moshel Bakol. What's V'ata Moshel Bakol? What does it have to do with tzedakah? So the Shalosh says that when God, with His divine grace, bestowed upon you wealth, if you will be stingy about that wealth, not willing to share it with others, B'nedivus HaLev, then there are klipos that somehow reside over your possessions. So they're going to prevent you. Shalo yuchal limshol bishalo. He won't have control over his own possessions. And if you ask me what kind of a sitra achra, how would you describe or classify these forces of evil that are sholet al mamono shal kamtzan, that take control of the money of someone who's stingy and tight-fisted? Here we want to quote Rabbi Elimelech, the great Baal Noam Elimelech, who quotes in turn one of the Gedolim, that even though the Gemara says in Yuma, Ki Anshi Knesset Gedol Bitul Yetzara Shel Avodah Zorah, there's still something left to the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. And instead of its original form, enticing people to run after idols and worship them, it took on a different form. And that is Radifach Me'amama, running and craving money. So the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, well, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola destroyed that Yetzer Hara, but yet it's impossible to kill a malach, because a malach is spiritual in nature. But rather, what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola accomplished was they were able to force this malach to make a transition, give up on his original umnus, his perfect trade, and instead substitute a different kind of shlichus, and that would be a shlichus to engender within man a craving, a love for money, to confuse man and send him on a path in life of redifas amama. It's like Avodah Zarah, but it's not exactly Avodah Zarah. That's what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were to and go. If that's what they accomplished, they were able to make a transition in the power and the mode of temptation of the Yetzer Hara. Forget about Avodah Zarah mamish, but let's talk about control over one's mama. And the Gemara Bava Basra that we quoted earlier, Kol Amalim Einu Min Atzdok Kilu Oved Avodas Kochavim, and the Baal HaNesivos in his book Emes LiYaakov claims that Hatam, the reason why a person who's Malim Einu Min Atzdok is considered like an Oved Avodas Kochavim, he says, the Ilu HaYamamin Shakol Ba Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, he only understood and believed with every fiber of his being that God is in control of everything, Vadai Shah, you know, Saint Stucky certainly would be willing to part with his money, because everything really belongs to Hashem. And as the Mishnah says, Tein Lo Mishalo, Shatov Shalcha Shalo. But rather, this person who refuses to give Stucka, he's not willing to live up to the Emuna, to that faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything, but rather he believes Kochi Vyotzim Yadi, it's mine, I produced it, I worked for it, and therefore I don't want to share it with anyone else. He's an Oved Avodas Kochavim, because he's basically denying the faith in the absolute control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire universe. If he would be a mamin that everything comes from God, for sure he would give tzedakah. Why doesn't he give tzedakah? Because Kochi Vyotzim Yadi, he omits God from the equation. This is all mine, I created it, and I want to keep it for myself. He denies the element of God. He takes out the divine element of the equation, and Mamela, he's an Oved Avodas Kochavim. And the Torah warns us, He Shomer Lecha, Pen Tishkach as Hashem Elokecha, Pen Tochal V'Savata, Ubatim Tovim Tivne V'Yashavta, B'Karcha V'Tzoncha, Yarbiun Mekesav Zov Yarbe Lecha V'Chal Hashem Lecha Yarbe V'Ram Levavcha V'Shachachtos Hashem Elokecha. A person is opulent, he's got so much money, so many possessions, gold and silver, he's got cattle, he's a multi-millionaire, and what does he do? He forgets God, he leaves God out of the equation. Ram Levavcha, he puts everything on his lave. I created all this, I'm the great guy, I'm responsible for it. This is such a sakana. Sometimes I think that it's a greater temptation when you're wealthy than when you're poor, because when you're wealthy, a person begins to forget God, chas v'shalom. He takes God out of the equation. He thinks that the koach is his own koach. He doesn't attribute it back to the source, back to the divine source. So it's always kochi v'yotzim yodi asili yasachai l'aseh. And that's Avodah Zarah. So the real test of faith to a person Does he have full faith in God or does he not? Does he believe truly that God is responsible for everything and God gave him the ability to do whatever he could do in life? How do we test a person? What is the litmus test, the barometer, so that we can put our finger on the pulse? And the answer is the mitzvah of tzedakah. If a person opens his hands and he gives and he's willing to part with his possessions for the sake of aniyim, for lomdei Torah, because he believes with a full faith that the money that he has is not really his, it really belongs to God, and God gave him the ability to do with this money what he could do. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me to give tzedakah to poor people. And therefore, this mammon, even though it's right now in my possession, is really, it's only coincidental or accidental that it's in my possession. It's really the chelkom shel aniyim. And it was put accidentally in my possession so that I would rise up to the challenge and give it to the ani. And it's really coming to the ani. And a rich person is sort of like a gabbai tzedakah, just like a gabbai tzedakah is in charge of communal funds that don't belong to him and he has to divvy them out. So too, if I, as a rich person, if my Weltanschauung is that this is not mine, I'm like the gabbai tzedakah, I'm here to dispense with this money and give it out to whoever should be giving it to. That's the attitude of Pasach Tiftach Es Yadcha. And that's ultimately going to bring about the Geula. But if a person refuses to give tzedakah, he would rather keep everything for himself, it's quite clear that he is begeder oved avodas kochav kala milim v'eino malim eino minat tzedakah ki ilu oved avodas kochav. His attitude is kochi v'yotzim yadi. It's not coming from God, it's a result, it's a product of my labor, and therefore it's mine. And I will control it, and I will do with it what I want. And I will be tight-fisted because I want to keep everything for myself. Now, why is it that Avraham Avinu becomes the paradigm of Moshe B'chol Asher Lo, and he's the one who gives tzedakah without any hesitation? And the answer is because that's the same Avraham Avinu who at the beginning of his glorious career fights a battle against idol worship. He's trying to defeat the Sitra Achra with his Kedusha, with his sanctity. And what is the power of the Sitra Achra? Is Sholeit al Ashirus Shalakamtson. As a result of the powers of evil of the Sitra Achra, he won't be able to give tzedakah. He no longer has control over his possessions. And the Sitra Achra is going to inhibit him from giving tzedakah. This Avodah Zorah attitude, which expresses itself in Kochi, the statement, the declaration, Kochi V'otzim Yodo Liyosel, this is all a result of his Kamtzanut, because as a result, the Sitra Achra is Sholeit Al Nechasov Al Kol HaAshiru Shalom. So hence we have another form of an Oved Avodas Kochav. Not the original form, but a secondary form. And Avraham Avinu is given the description by the Torah of HaMoshel B'chol Shalom. He Sholeit, he controls all of his Rechush. And that's why he could take his Rechush and he could earmark it, he could delegate it for tzedakah, for the mitzvah of tzedakah, for the mitzvah of Achnasas Orachim. And as the Zohar points out in Parshas Bahar, Ha'ovos HaKadoshim Tiknu Gimel Averos Chamuros, Avraham Avinu Tikein Avodah Zorah, the world was so rampant in the violation of the most serious, severe sins that the Avos were meant to undermine those powers, those forces of the Yetzer Hara, of Kamtzanut, those influences that try to keep him tight-fisted and self-centered. So what did Avraham Avinu establish? If Yitzchak was in charge of Avodah Zarah and Yaakov of Gilead Arayos, what was Avraham in charge of? Avodah Zarah. And Avraham Avinu is going to break down the idols of his father Terach. And that makes Avraham Avinu the ultimate Baal Chesed, because if he breaks Avodah Zarah, he realizes it's not Kochi Veltzim Yodi, but rather it's Moshe B'chol HaShalo, that everything that he has comes from Hashem. And this is Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the Moshe B'chol HaShalo because he has the great schus of breaking the idols, the klip of Avodah Zarah. He has total control and shlita over his nechassim. And what's he going to do with his nechassim? He's going to earmark them for the benefit of mankind, for tzedakah, for chesed. And the Arizal says, you know when you should give tzedakah? When you recite V'ata Moshe Bakol, U'biyodcha koach u'gvura, U'biyodcha legadil lechazik lakol. What you are doing with this tzedakah is you are revealing, you're publicizing the fact that we have a true belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Moshe Bakol, that He can give us everything, He can bestow upon us all that we need, but we must rise up to the challenge of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So before you recite the words U'Moshe Bakol, give tzedakah. And once you give tzedakah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshe Bakol, and He has the ability and the powers to strengthen everyone, lechazik lakol. And as a result of nesinas tzedakah, we break that control of the Yetzer Hara, of the Avodah Zarah. And that's what we are called upon to follow in the path of Avraham Avinu, who is Moshe B'chol HaShalom. Now let's go back to the statement, the declaration that was attributed to the Arizal in Hayukol Yisrael Yodim Kamahu Gadol Nesina Staka Shalviata Moshe Bakol Hayukulam Nosnim at Staka Hayubar Mashiach. And the Gemara Baba Basra that we quoted, Gdol at Staka Shemakareves as Hagu'ula. The statement that we make in Tfilas Musaf on the Sholosh Regolim is very relevant. In this context, we declare Einanu Yecholim Lalos V'Leiros V'Leshtachos L'Fanecha Mipnei Hayod Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashach. What are we emphasizing here? We say HaKadosh Baruch with a certain kvetch, with a certain cry, that we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, bring the Korban Musaf, but why not? Mipnei Hayod Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashach. If the subject of our study today is the Yad, and in the case of Kfitzas Yad of a stingy person, or in the case of Psichas Yad of someone who's magnanimous to give tzedakah, let's take a look at another Yad. A Yad Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashecha, says the Arizal, quoted by his Talmud Rav Chaim Vital in Pri Eitz Chaim, Sod Mashon of Omrim B'nei Ayad Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashecha Yuvan. He's quoting the Zohar in Parshas Truma, Chalon Echad Anikra Chalon Zehiro Ubo Tzuras Yad. If you look through this spiritual window, so to speak, what you'll see is a picture of the Yad. It's almost like if you look up at the galaxies in the skies, what you'll see is something, a constellation that looks like a hand. I forgot what it's called, but they have a Greek word for it, right? For who kafuf tachas kanfei Ashkina. Now this Yad could go either way. It's the long arm, so to speak, figuratively, of the Shechinah of Almighty God. It could do great things for Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, it could bring about the Churban. And at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the Shlita, the control, was given to this Tzuras Yad of Hayad Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashecha. God sends this Yad to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So again, there's some sort of a star in the heavens, or maybe it's a constellation of stars that has a Tzuras Yad, and that Tzuras Yad is what we call Klipa. Klipa means it has a power, Chas V'Shalom, of evil, to bring about evil. And when the Beis HaMikdash stood, this Yad was Kfufa Tachas Shechina. It was under the control of the Shechina, but at the time of the Churban, it rebelled against the Shechina, Kaviyachol. And this Yad has a special relationship with Shevet Yehuda. And we'll see this in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu bestows upon Shevet Yehuda at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yadcha, again the emphasis on the Yad, be Oref Oivecha. Your Yad, Yehuda, has the power to run after and decimate your enemies. It's the Yad of Klipa, but it works in one of two ways. It could be a hakah bi'oref shel oivim, to be machnia the oivim under the Shechina, under the Kedusha. But if Shevet Yehuda will deviate from the fulfillment of God's ways, if they will worship idols, if they will go after the Yad of the Klipa, if they're going to attribute to the powers of the universe to all sorts of types of categories of Avodah Zarah, then, as the pasuk says, "Vayas Yehuda harab eni Hashem," the Yad rebels against God, and it becomes God's arm to bring about a klipa, to bring about a destruction. And the Arizal adds that when it says in the pasuk "Sod Hashem liyareiv," it means this sod, the secret of mitnei hayad shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha, at the time of the churban when Klal Yisrael sinned and they rebelled against God. Then the Klipas Hayad, that special star up in the heavens, also stood up and rebelled against the Shechina. And here's where Shevet Yehuda lost its control of the Yad. That Yad that was Yodcha B'Yoref Oivecha, as the Pasuk says, Yaakov's blessing in Parshas Vayechi. So here's this Yodcha B'Yoref Yovecha, and now instead it's going to be the Yad Shenishtalcha B'Beis Mikdashenu. It's all the same Yad. It all depends on what you do with the Yad. And the Besht is quoted as saying on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Gala Miyad Tsar, that we will be able to appreciate and express our gratitude to God who will redeem us with that same Yad of Klipa that was Nishtalcha B'Mikdashecha. Unbelievable. God is going to give us a Yad, but this Yad is going to be Gol on the Yad Tsar. God is going to redeem the Yad from the hands of the Tsar, of the enemy which is the Sitra Acher that's using that Yad as a Klipa to destroy, and now that Yad is going to be returned and replaced to Yehuda, representing the power of Golam, of Geula. So where Rabbi Meir says that when a person is born, the fetus is born, it's kol olam shaliu, he closes his hands because the Yetzirah enters into his body immediately and it's in control over his hands, causing his hands to close in a tight-fisted way to prevent him from giving tzedakah to aniyim. That is really the klipa, which is called Yad. That is the power of evil that's called Yad. And that means this is the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, which, as we said before, is the Kochiv Yotzim Yadi, which now controls his Rechush. And this is all because of Shevet Yehuda, they worshipped idols. And that activates this Yad as a Klipa, as such a destructive force. And it brings about the Churba. And therefore the Torah in the midst of Tzedakah emphasizes Lo Tikfos Et Yadcha, because if you're a Kofetz Et Yadcha, what you're doing is you're continuing what happened at your birth when the Yetzirah forced you to be Kofetz Et Yadcha and to create a Klipas Yad, and that Klipas Yad is going to have control. But if on the other hand it's Kofetz Tiftoches Yadcha, if you open your hands, if you break loose of the grasp or the grip of the Yetzer Hara, and you magnanimously share your wealth with others, you now destroy the klipas ayad. And instead, that yad becomes the Yad Hashem that's going to bring about blessing. And towards the end of this shiur, we're going to take a look at the Gemara Baba Basra about Maisa b'Munbas HaMelech. Munbas HaMelech used his money in bizbus. There was much money in the treasury, but he wasted it. And this, according to the Gemara, is Maisa b'Munbas HaMelech b'Bizbeis Otsrosa v'Otsos Avosa b'Shnei HaBatzores V'chibro lov echav ubeis aviv yomer lo avosecha ganzu vosifu al shel avosam v'yatam evaz bezom omer lehem avosai ganzu lemata v'anigarasti lemala shenemar emes meyeretz titzmach v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf avosai ganzu b'mokum shayad sholed hesbo Vani garazti v'makom she'ena yad sholeres po shenemer tzedek u'mishpat machon kisecha. Says the Ben Ishchaim Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara in Baba Basra. Af sheganazti v'makom she'ena yad sholeres po romas bezel kocha sitra achra machuna b'shem yad. This is a remnant to that power of evil which is called yad. As we say in the Musaf Mnei, Hayad sheneshtalcha b'mikdashecha, this is the power, the control, the koach of the sitra achra, which is called yad. Ani asisi tztocha l'shem shamayim shelo tuchal asitra achra lishlot hein mitzad gaiva hein mitzad pnia acheres. It's absolutely clear that when a person fulfills the mitzvah of tztocha, he zoche lignos es tzidkoso b'mokum shein yad toledes bo tztocha, is locked up in a treasury chest, in a place where the yad of the klipa cannot get to. And kipasach tiftach es yod chalo, if you give tztaka to aniyim, you open up your hand, you break the achiz of the grasp of the klipas hayad of the Yetzahara. And therefore gedola tztaka shemekareves es hageula, we open our hands to give tztaka, we break the power of the klipas hayad shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha, and then in that tzchus we can be zocha to build the bayis shlishi at the time of the gula shlema. And that's what we mean when we say that we all of Chal Yisrael to give tztaka v'yata Moshe v'akol, with a great deal of faith in God, that God is ultimately the Moshe v'akol, and that's going to bring about the geula. And therefore, we end with a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should bring about the Mashiach. He should be machnia. He should subjugate the power of the klipas hayad that tries to get us to be tight-fisted, and in place to give us that same yad to destroy our enemies, to fulfill and bring about the realization of Yaakov's bracha to Shevet Yehuda, Yodcha b'yoref ayvecha, b'mheirav yameinu. Amen.